systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
I'm starting to feel the pinch of not having a basement or any attic space.
That's because you have family and for the holidays, and there's extra people here with extra stuff, and you have no extra space.
No, the problem was when I took down the Christmas decorations, because I added a little bit this year, not a lot, but I just had to get very creative with how I put everything away.
Listen, she needed a cleanup crew. This is how expansive she went on Christmas. Over which I believe we talked about in the last podcast. She's not even really all that fond of, but was kind of just like forcing herself into it.
Well, this year was hard because my dad died, and this is the first Christmas without him. Listen, and he loved Christmas. So I kind of forced myself to get into the holiday spirit with all of this extra shit.
She put up so much shit. It was like, do you know the crew that we all watched at Times Square? And we all saw this photo. It was not the people who sat there in diapers all night in the rain to count down the ball.
It looked awful, didn't it? Oh, my God.
It looked miserable. Fuck, it looked terrible. But it was the crew afterwards, who are a bunch of New York streets and sands workers who are in head-to-toe sanitation gear, and they're just like, they're cleaning and scrubbing and sweeping, and it's garbage and poop and all types of things. And I shit you not, that was the kind of crew she needed. She had she needed new construction after she took down her shit, because her shit impacted the permanent construction. She's like, sorry. It was like how bad the Grand Prix fucked up Las Vegas. That's right. How much AJ fucked up our house by going, that ball's out. So I will say, you did add a little bit to the collection this year.
I did.
It was nice. I mean,
You complimented it many times.
It looked nice.
It was warm. It was cozy.
Now, just so you know, because we got to be a little bit different, you know, we do live in the same town as our Republican congressman, so a lot of the things are pretty uniform. AJ does not put up the sweet baby Jesus. She does not even put up Santa Claus. No, there is no reindeer. She does a Nightmare Before Christmas themed decoration.
Yeah, it's my goddamn house.
Yeah, that's...
So I do what I want.
It's not like joy. It's not like he is risen. Not he is risen. He's born. That's the other one. She goes with like an alternate theme. She has like a fucking projector that's projecting like Jack and Zero. He has like zeros. I mean, it's not your average Christmas house.
Well,
it sticks out in our neighborhood.
I don't give a shit.
It's great. It's very, like, you would think, by the way the house is decorated.
To be fair, I've done that every year. It's always been Nightmare Before Christmas.
The way the house is decorated, and guys will know who exactly this person is to them, maybe even AJ will. I want you to pick out your favorite hot goth girl. Okay, we all know one. She's the rocker chick, pale skin, black hair, maybe red, maybe multicolored these days. Whoever that hot chick is, that's who you would expect to walk out of the house that is decorated like ours. I just want to think what the neighbors, you know, kind of try to like resolve in their head when they see this house that is like kind of a spooky alternative Christmas getup, and then like a tall, blonde Wikipedia like basic white girl in her 40s comes out in her leggings in her Prius to go to yoga class, which is all things, by the way, she's wearing that. She drives a Prius and she does do yoga.
I do.
So like you're the opposite. It's like,
I don't think the house was as creepy as you're making it, but you did
in our neighborhood though. It was like, I mean, it was,
there wasn't
I loved
a lot,
it.
There wasn't a lot of Jesus in our neighborhood this year. There was, everybody did go out with their decorations.
They did.
Though.
I loved our neighborhood. Our neighborhood did dick for Halloween.
Yeah.
They did nothing for Halloween.
Which is weird because usually Halloween is more than Christmas, but this, we were nervous.
We didn't know.
I'm like, they're not going all out for Halloween. What's going on? And all of a sudden it happened right after election day too. Everybody put up all these crazy Christmas decorations.
That's true. They could have been stressed about the election. I also think because we are a snowbird neighborhood, really a snowbird neighborhood, I don't think they're here at Halloween. I think there's a decent I think there's a decent chance they show up, especially this year after the election.
We do
they probably voted wherever they live.
We do seem to have a lot of regulars here though, and the regulars didn't decorate for Halloween, which made me sad.
Well, you need to go door to door and harass people.
But we don't have a
we're not going to be harassed for like votes this year. So maybe you can just go door to door and go, "Listen, guys, can we all do Halloween decorations?"
I just love how it took me like 2 hours to put up and 20 minutes to take down the outside stuff. It was so fast. Yeah. It was ridiculous. But now I'm like, holy shit, where do I put all this stuff? We don't have a storage space.
There's no basement.
That's a big thing here. Lots of people have storage spaces because there are no basements. There are no attics. There's nowhere to put anything except for basically your garage. And a lot of people's garages are so full, they can't park a car in there. Our goal is to keep parking our cars in there.
I will tell you, from the people I've met out here, a few clients, especially once they learn I'm from the Midwest or maybe they travel back east, if they're from Arizona, I can't specifically speak to the other areas, but Arizonans are absolutely fascinated by basements the way Midwestern folks are fascinated by in-ground pools that can be open year-round.
Yeah.
I've had native Arizonans go, "Dude, I went and visited my wife's family in Michigan. They got this whole thing called the basement.
A basement.
It was great. That's where they had their washer and dryer. They set up a desk for me. I was able to work remote. It's like a whole other level."
Yeah.
And I forget that I go, Jesus Christ, I forget that that is not something that the rest of the country has.
And what they do here, well, not the rest of the country. I mean, just this is a very Southwest thing. The ground's too hard to dig basements.
But I don't think West Coast has basements. I don't think anyone in California does.
It is very Midwest.
I think it's a very Midwest thing.
But I've also noticed that people here use their garages, if they don't stuff them full of shit, if they don't stuff them full of shit for storage, they create another room out of them, like a rec room, like what we would have in our basements in the Midwest. Like they have, like you'll see a light, you'll see posters cars.
That's called an Airbnb, okay? That's how you make a few extra dollars in this economy.
Anyways, I'm shocked that somehow everything found a place after Christmas.
Well, you did. I mean, and I do mean that too, that it's, you know, we have AJ's mother-in-law in town. She's been here since...
My mother, your mother-in-law.
Oh, I'm sorry, my mother-in-law, AJ's mom. And you kind of take away, because I know you'd probably be in that closet too. There's a closet in the room where my mother-in-law is staying. I bet you'd want to be in there to maybe tuck stuff away.
No, I don't put any Christmas stuff in that closet. That closet's for like extra bedding and stuff like that.
Well, man, you got to join America. Get yourself storage space.
I need to clean my stuff out.
Strutting to 2025 saying I'm joining the rest of you fucking people.
I absolutely will not pay for that.
My consumerism.
No way. No way.
Welcome on into the new year, folks. It is episode 261 of the Pat and AJ podcast. Hope you had a good Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year, whatever you did. I'm sure we're all kind of just figuring out what day it is again. We totally had, I mean, everyone always jokes about...
That was the worst week ever to figure out what day it
is. I mean, we always joke about the holidays, you know, which is that period between Christmas and New Year's where you're not quite sure what's going on. But when that shit falls in the middle of a week and you are going to work on like a Monday, Tuesday, or even just a Monday, and say you got Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then you're back in Thursday, Friday, then you're back off. Yeah, it is whack.
It is bizarre.
I had no clue what day. I mean, I literally asked AJ, and she never works on Saturday, a particular shift that requires her to go to bed at like 8 p.m. like she normally does. And today I look at her like, "So you're working tomorrow, right? Like
no,
you
have to go to bed Saturday. Tonight?
Huh? Tomorrow's Saturday?"
I know, it's weird.
So we hope, I hope you had a good 2024. Can I tell you, I feel like there was an increase, and not that I even spent a lot of time on social media these days, but I'm off work this past week, so I got maybe more time than I normally have to do some scrolling. And I swear, I feel like I felt more... I don't want to say negativity. It was negativity. I don't know. I felt more like people were just kind of like ready to throw their personal 2024 out the window. And I know we all go through years that we want to throw out the window. I can remember the ones that I cheered in because I'm like, fuck this year. It's got to go. But I felt like maybe it was just the algorithm of who I was seeing There are a lot of folks that apparently did not like their 2024.
I didn't like my 2024, but I liked parts of it. And I didn't post anything like that. I'm not like good riddance. I'm like, oh, whatever. It's over. I do like that people posted that they had a bad year, though, because it makes...
Don't lie to people.
It makes... social media is a lie. We only post the good things. And when we post the bad things, it can get really dicey.
Social media is...
So I like it that people posted they had a bad year, even if they never posted about it before. And you thought, wow, their year looked great.
Well, I mean, social media is, you know, just an extension of what we originally knew as reality TV, which, as we also know, was just a presentation of reality, which really then turned out to be a presentation of fiction. And it's the same thing with social media, but, you know, I don't know. It was interesting watching a lot of folks, and I understand things happen. Like, you know, you lost my father-in-law this year. I mean, that sucks. More for AJ, you know, I'm sure impacts her more than it does me just by the nature of the relationship. But I'm also like, well, did that ruin the whole year? Like, when I think back at 2024, what will I think about? Obviously, you'll go, all right, my father-in-law passed away. I'll probably think about his funeral, to be honest. It was kind of a good time.
We had fun.
Kind of
awe, and that's what he would have wanted.
Kind of an awe-inspiring event. Like, I'll think about that. I'll think about hanging out in Las Vegas with my wife a couple times and seeing the Dead at the Sphere and hanging out with our good East Coast friends, the Coopers. You don't get to see...
That was fun.
You don't get to see friends when you live far away and when you're raising kids and doing career, you know? So,
but it's also okay to say... I had a shit year.
I mean, I had lots of... I mean, you know me. I catastrophize a lot, and I probably stomped around his house a million days saying everything sucks. Jesus, AJ caught me after a Sphere show when I may or may not have indulged the same way Diplo does on CNN, if you're hip to the reference. But I think I catastrophized in Vegas, you know, when
our entire life.
When
he catastrophized our entire life because he was hangry. And it was out of this world. I literally just sat on the
hold on.
No, let you hold on.
Do you want Anderson Cooper and like Andy Cohen this? Because I will argue this.
I sat on the bed and let you stomp around the room just talking about how everything in the world was ruined because of your mood that night. And I think I was giving you kind of like one word answers. And then finally I just ordered food on DoorDash once he ate, guess what? He was fine.
No, first off, with that particular night, there's many other factors she's not talking in, including the fact that it was like August in Las Vegas and we were out walking around very hot. Besides the point, yes, there are moments that I'm sure sucked in my 2024, but I'm really being honest, man. I'm not trying to be the rose-colored glasses guy because we all know I'm the pessimistic Southside Chicagoan at heart. But I swear to you, like, I look back and I just think about the good times, man. You know, I mean, I got to hang out with my buddies in Los Angeles to a big me and my friends click. We got to do the first 50th birthday celebration.
Yikes.
And when you're like a bunch of dudes who've known each other since before you were legal, to all of a sudden, weird, to have one of them go, hey, I'm turning 50. What do you want to do? Let's go to L.A. and act like a bunch of jackasses. Like, that's what I want to think about. Yeah, there's some losses in there. Well, there's bad things, but I don't know.
But I'm not going to chastise anybody for saying it was a bad year. If it was a bad year,
maybe
it was
a lot of people had a bad year. I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, maybe your year really did suck, and I hope the next one's better for you, right? So, you know, I just noticed that on the algorithm. How you doing?
I'm good.
You're going through it today, huh?
Yeah.
AJ's a mess. You're off your, I don't want to say rocker. You're off your rhythm, I feel like.
Yes, very, very much so.
Is it, what, the holidays thing? Is it the having, like, you have your mom in town, so that's kind of like...
That's not really throwing me off.
I say that's more of a positive than anything. Yeah. I mean, it's just a different thing, I guess. Maybe it's like adding another ingredient in the stew, but... How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just very thrown off. Like, I was wrong about what day it was this week and forgot to do something at work because of it. And
you really at work? That's got to be the worst.
I mean, it wasn't a huge deal. It was basically like copying and pasting something for the weekend, but I didn't realize it was the weekend, so I didn't do it. So somebody else did it. Again, not like, you know, the end of the world and I got yelled at, but I felt stupid the next day. I'm like, oh shit, it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm just thrown off. But I don't know. I remember last year I was sad when the holidays were over because I didn't really want to get back to normal yet. This year, I want to get back to normal.
She was angry.
Yeah,
I'm
like, I liked everything being chill and us just being relaxed and everything. And I'm like, I don't want to go back to normal. This year, I do. I don't know.
This has been weird. We went out on December 30th and we came home from our night out on December 31st. And my wife, before the stroke of midnight, had the house, I mean, just cleaned and cleared the outside of the house. It was Christmas time no more. Which I know, isn't that normally like New Year's Day is when you're supposed to?
Yeah, but
have them down.
It was just the way the schedule worked. Like, yeah. We had stayed out till about 2 o'clock in the morning the night before. We left the hotel at around 11 the next day. We drove home and I'm like, I had to take my mom to an appointment. So I'm like, I've got like 2.5 hours. And I said, I could either go sleep and feel like shit after, because I had to go to bed early because I had to work the next day. I'm like, or I can just keep myself busy till we leave for her appointment and then I'll be ready for bed, you know? And that's what I did. I took down all the Christmas decorations.
You
I
kept yourself open. Busy.
If that I was, did.
If that was your point, mission accomplished.
It does feel good to have it all down though. It feels good to be back to some sense of normalcy.
Back ready to go?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I don't necessarily want to start the regular schedule again, I do need to be on something.
Do you have a good Christmas? We had a great Christmas. It was so awesome. I flipped out and yelled at everyone right before we were opening presents.
Yeah, he did. Krabby Patty.
Oh my
made
God.
An appearance.
It was so great. We had AJ and my son and my mother-in-law in the living room, and we're getting ready to open presents. And you know, the kid's 18 now, so you're not putting on the show.
No. Any teenage parent knows what that's like.
Any parent in general, you know, there's just a certain time when the transactional nature of Christmas or whatever you give for is just different. The expectations are different. The vibe is different. So as we're trying to get this whole thing going, I got to set this setting for you. Like any house out there who has animals and also decides to introduce new pieces of furniture throughout the year. And by pieces of furniture, I mean Christmas trees. Okay, because it literally is like putting, as far as a pet is concerned, like a fucking new couch in the middle of the room all of a sudden. And I don't know about you, but we, like a lot of folks, play a game of war against the animals and trying to keep them not involved with the tree. Our old dog never was a problem.
She didn't care, no. But the cats have, obviously, it's cliche, they've always been a problem with the tree.
And even the cats aren't like horrors.
There was one time our dog knocked over the tree. One time, our old dog. Shit,
the old dog did.
We were at our son's like preschool Christmas pageant, and we came home and the tree was knocked over. And I just laughed because that was so not something she would do.
And I think it's because that tree, personally.
I know, where it was sitting in front of the window. She usually looks out.
You set it up where her little looky-loo was, and she probably just nudged that thing out of the fucking way.
The cats have always been terror. Like we've realized.
But they're not terror. I mean, like you've seen terrible ones.
They were with the last tree because it was bigger. They used to just terrorize the tree skirt. They would hide underneath it. They would pull it. And if it was around the tree a certain way, they'd almost pull the tree over. Luckily, the tree was in front of a chair. So if it did knock over, it just leaned against the chair. But they used to, the younger cat used to try to crawl in the tree because it was huge. This time in this house, we have one of those skinny trees because it's just, we don't have a lot of room for a big tree. And now it's just a party with the ornaments. And once they
knocked, that's right. Yeah. Now it became about batting down the ornaments.
And then when they bat down the ornaments, the dog runs and grabs the ornament and we have to chase after the dog.
It's a very 1-2 punch kind of thing where you're yelling at the cats and then the dog, because he's just a big dopey bulldog, and he's like, whoa, something made noise. And like, he'll go and grab a glass fucking ornament and chomp down on it. Now you're like, great, I have a dog that broke a glass ornament. So it becomes, at times, when they all want to coordinate, a little bit much. Now, back to Christmas morning, as we set everybody up, we have some cats who are now interested in all the presents that have magically shown up underneath this tree. We have a dog who is upset that the cats are getting to investigate presents that he can't get to, because once again, notice how I talked about the animal that will chomp down on a glass ornament and then ask for another one. Like, if he could talk, he'd be like, that's pretty good. You got another one? I shit you not. Our son gets overstimulated because the dog is going after the cats. I then get overstimulated because my son is overstimulated. and I shut down the entire gift giving process. We weren't opening them. We were
but we were getting ready.
We were doing the, you know, all right, here's one for mom, and here's one. Oh, here's one for grandma, and here's one for Dylan. And we were getting to the point where, it's like, open it up, right? Which I also figured out, by the way, AJ is a everyone open them up and one at a time. I that was a big debate this year on like Instagram. What kind of family are you a part of? Are you a part of everyone opens up at the same time? Or are you a part of a, we open it up at one time and we all watch the person? And I figured it out. I go, oh shit, AJ's definitely from the we watch you. So like, it's a long drawn out process. And this thing was going to take a while. The vibe was wrong. I basically shut down Christmas and we're taking a break. It's very Clark Griswold.
No, it was very Krabby Patty.
Shut your fucking face, motherfucker. I like, she fucks with me on this podcast. You guys know that, right?
But you know,
she takes it as her role. Hold on. She takes it as her role because so many women over the years have been like, I love the way you give it to him. I love the way she thinks she's the
guys hate it.
Well, great. I get to take the fucking punches for the guys.
The only reason I'm giving you a hard time because
I do not think I was the propulsion of that event. I managed the event.
The only reason I'm giving you a hard time is because we used to say that you were having a tantrum.
Yes.
And you said we should start calling it that I'm Krabby Patty. So now I'm just calling you Krabby Patty.
Well, thank you. I get it. You're trying to work it in. But I really don't think that it was on me. I feel like I was doing the smart thing by shutting down Christmas. Because if we would have, what, you just like you slanted your eyes at me like a lion.
No,
like,
not at all.
Like you're trying to figure me out.
That wasn't on purpose.
That's a lioness over here.
Now you're looking into it. I really didn't do it.
But like, I felt like you couldn't open the presents because you got cats and dogs going crazy, which is driving the kid crazy, which is then driving me crazy. It's not going to be a happy time.
You were right. No, we took a break and came back and everything was fine.
Yeah, it was okay then. You were happy with your gift and everything?
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
You got a Grateful Dead sweater. It's right over there. Just in time for the weather to bounce back up and be hot here.
I say it's La Nina. We're not going to have a cold winter. And I am fine with that because you know what? Last January was so cold. And our heater broke in January. Oh, yeah. Remember that? Like we were wearing like sweatpants, sweatshirts, double quilts to bed to wait for them to come fix it. We haven't had to do this year. Knock on wood.
Knock on something.
I don't think we're going to get that this year.
Every fucking other thing in this house is going wrong this year.
Yeah, everything's broken.
See, I
hope 2025 is the year of nothing
breaking.
That's
what I'm saying. See, I could bitch about that stuff. I have plenty of like dumb house shit go wrong. And it's not dumb house shit because it costs a lot of fucking money. But it's just like, you know.
None of it was by choice. It was just stuff broke and we had to pay to get it fixed or else.
Listen, I live in a fucking house.
I know.
Am I real? I mean, can I really ever be too pissed off?
No.
My pool is cracked.
You know how it is though. even if it's a first world problem, when like multiple stuff breaks in your house in a short amount of time, it is stressful. Sucks. It does stress you out.
You just gotta remember your place in life. There's worse things than that. And the fact that we can afford to call someone up and say, get over here and fix it. That was not always the case.
No, we
right?
used to have to put that on a credit card. Now we can actually just pay for it.
Right?
It's pretty amazing.
Call each other. Who has more room? You got room? I had an interesting revelation today with money, and I feel like a lot of lot of parents, maybe if you're raising kids, do we talk to our kids about money? I was definitely part of the generation where it was like, know your role and know your place, and that shit I was never let into my mom's finances.
I was never let into my parents' finances. I just knew I was, you know, when we didn't have money for something I wanted, I was told.
Yeah, and I remember that being always for me. I remember that always being the general sense that we never had money for anything. Like the biggest difference that I figured out about my childhood is that I would go for a month out of the year to my dad's place in Iowa, and my dad was an optometrist in a small town. And his kids, I would go to the grocery store with his wife and his kids. And when they got done shopping, all the kids, my three steps, they would all run up to the little gumball machines.
Oh, they got to get
They'd be like, oh my God, this one, that one, that one. And then Deb, their mom, would walk up with the quarters and be like, all right, here you go, here you go. And then she, all right, Patrick, here you go. And she's like, give me a quarter. And that is not even shit that I could comprehend to ask my mother or grandmother or grandfather growing up in Chicago. Because it wasn't, they would have looked at me, I would have been better off telling them that what's something that would really upset my grandparents back then. John F. Kennedy was a fascist, right? They would have more so understood me saying that than going, can I have a quarter to put in there for something? They'd say, this makes no sense. We don't waste quarters. So where I'm going,
you also got to understand too, and I just realized this just now, your half brother and half sisters lived in and still do for the most part, Bufu Nowhere, Iowa.
I mean, definitely when they were growing up.
When they were growing up, there was, I mean, there's nothing. It's a town square.
Town square.
Like
and a Hy-Vee.
Like Back to the Future, but even less so. Like there's not a cool diner.
There's a clock tower.
There's a clock tower. There's a movie theater and a Mexican restaurant. That's all. That's it. And like the and the Hy-Vee down the street. So
that's where you'd use the quarters on the thing.
So I can kind of see where the excitement was within the quarter machines at the Hy-Vee.
For me, I just figured it out as a financial difference, right? Things were a little bit different. So, you know, I don't know. Obviously, myself and AJ, we've worked hard. And you always strive to do good for yourself. And then you have a kid and you're trying to do good for the kid and you're doing your best. And, you know, trust me and you lived through the Great Recession on a broadcaster salary.
That was terrible.
That was fun. That was fun, guys. Remember that?
Remember after we paid all of our bills.
And nothing.
And our rent and our phone and diapers at the time because our son was that little.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, how do we make $200 last for 2 weeks?
Right.
Let's go. How do we do that?
Let's get some food.
Oh my God, it was awful.
But we've done well for ourselves and we've worked hard to advance our careers no matter what it is we do. And now we're at this certain point in life. And I have a son who's 18 now. And he just started driving. This is it's a big monumental thing for us. If you watch AJ's Instagrams, she gets very nervous about him driving. I'm cool.
I don't anymore. I don't. The first time I did. After that, I just kind of let go and let God. Like I just. I sat in the passenger seat.
And you're like, if I'm going to get hit head on, yes, I'm going to get hit.
I really did just relax. The only thing I did was hold that little bar above the window. But that was just more for me to like sit back, relax, and just let him do it. He's just got to drive.
You sound like
I'm fine with it now. But today was the first, yesterday actually was the first day that our son drove with Pat.
So today's Friday, right? Yeah. So yesterday was Thursday. Yeah, we drove. And this is where a little bit of the money part comes in. We drove because he has his permit, right? He has like his permit. He doesn't have his license yet. So he has to drive with one of us in the car. He drove me for the first time and we drove to a credit union so he could open up a credit.
A checking account
and a savings account because the kid's 18, right? Like the kid's 18 now, a bunch of people gifted him cash and all types of funds when it comes to Christmas. And it's like, what are you going to do with that? You can't have your old little kiddie account. You're a grown man now. So he drove me to the bank and it hit me there. I go, Jesus Christ, no one ever told me how to open up a bank account.
My dad took me when I was, I think when I got my first, no, it wasn't when I, it was when I graduated high school.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. I had an account before that somewhere because I had a job and I know the money went somewhere.
See,
but my dad, I do remember him driving me because I got all this cash for graduation and I had to put it somewhere.
Yeah, I got my first bank account freshman year of college. Up until then, if I had paychecks, I would utilize Chicago and Stand Up, a currency exchange. Which, if you didn't know...
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder, did I just cash my paychecks? Yeah. It's not like they were a lot, you know?
And a currency exchange in Chicago, at least, was a place that, yes, you could Western Union money and exchange currency. Here's pesos, give me dollars. But you could also cash paychecks if they were...
Do you remember how much your first paycheck was?
Not a fucking clue.
No?
I worked so many bullshit little jobs. I think, what is even considered like a real one? I don't even know.
My first,
like I was so hustle gig oriented.
Well,
you know?
My first paycheck, I was 16 and still in high school, so I was only working weekends.
Where at?
At the zoo. Yeah. The zoo, okay. My first paycheck, I think, for two weekends was like $218.
Fucking union
and
jobs
I just,
for the
I
win,
just
huh?
Shit my pants. I was like, you're telling me this is all because I worked. Like, yeah. I just remember being floored at
that.
Yeah,
but they also don't tell you that at that point, you also have what we would consider socialism benefits, which is free housing because of your parents.
Yeah, I know.
Free utilities because of your parents.
It was piss away money. I didn't even have a cell phone at that point.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I saved some of them, but, you know... I just remember I opened up a checking account because they were offering like a free cool gift. It was a TCF bank. Those are from Minnesota.
Yeah, I
learned. It makes sense now.
What was the free gift?
It's like a toaster or something.
because that's what you need is a toaster.
Well, I just moved out of.
Well, that's true.
I was living on my own with a bunch of dudes in a place, and I guess the toaster looked good. Like, we'll give you a toaster for free, and I was leaving Cub Foods. Now it makes sense. They're both Minnesota based.
Yes, Cub Foods.
Minnesota.
My mom worked at Cub
Minnesota coming down to Illinois to jack all of us. So, but I remember that was my first one, and I just kind of stumbled in like, cool free gift. All right, give me, what's this, an ATM card? That's fucking awesome.
Didn't you also say that's why you signed up for all those credit cards? Because they had free gifts.
My first credit card, and I just told this story when I was at the credit union with my son when he was getting signed up, because the gal signed us up, talked about all that shit, credit cards and credit limits. And I go, yeah, my first one was 1997, again, freshman year of college, at the Chicago Auto Show.
Oh, my God. Predatory.
Of course, right? You're at Chicago Auto Show. At the time, it was one of the greatest auto shows in the fucking world. And there was a Volkswagen tent, apparently with Visa or MasterCard, and... you would get a free Volkswagen shirt if you signed up for the credit card. And if you remember, this is like when they were really like Volkswagen were starting to have a moment again, and they were cool, far from Nugent, far from puking, signs like that.
Bugs were becoming like in vogue again.
So I wanted the t-shirt. So I signed up and I got the t-shirt. And of course, a couple of weeks later, a credit card shows up at my apartment.
Oh, dangerous.
And I remember it was $1,500.
Oh, my God. Dude, mine was like $300
limit. They gave me $1,500. And I ain't going to lie. I maxed that shit out in like a month and a half.
That is so scary.
Month and a half, I maxed that shit out.
Dude, I was so scared of my first credit card. I had a $350 limit, and I took my boyfriend to a TGI Fridays.
Yes, you did.
And the bill was like, $42 for the both of us. And I remember like... being terrified of, I like my hand was shaking when I gave them my credit card. And then I went home and like went on the computer to pay it, and it hadn't even posted it yet. And I'm like, I don't know how I can sleep knowing I have credit card debt. I wish I was that way now. I'm not.
Yeah, I really, unfortunately, I didn't have any of those red flags that you just had there. I was like, well, that sucks.
Terrible.
But our son, a much better understanding of those things. And now that he's driving and he's got himself a little bank account, today we went out again to go get food. That's what guys do. Now I realize this is what our father-son activity is food. So I go, all right, kiddo, with the bank account, you want to go get some food? He goes, sure. I go, you drive. So we're driving, and the first thing he notices when he gets in the car, he goes, Dad, this car's got no gas. I go, well, welcome to the shared responsibility, motherfucker, driving a car.
Let's go get some gas.
Because if you're playing the at-home version of the game, as AJ just said, who was the last person that drove it the day before?
He did.
Motherfucker! Correct. We stop at a gas station, and it's our local one here at the Safeway. And like a lot of these places, you got the discount program. You go shopping at Safeway. You earn points. You go get your gas at Safeway, and they will give you money off gas. And this is something that I don't know about you, and maybe this depends on when and where and how you were raised. Definitely, I've heard a lot of talks about this since Jimmy Carter's passed away. Rest in peace, Jimmy Carter, because a lot of people associate with him the gas crisis of the 70s.
Yeah.
And boy, I can't even imagine if you're one of the folks that lived through that. I, unfortunately, was a little bit too young when we were just running out of gas. But I've always been raised with people that watch gas prices like a fucking hawk.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I grew up in Chicago, Crook County, where everything is taxed. So everyone was trying to save a cent everywhere. But I kid you not, I knew the cheap gas spots because that's where my mom and my grandparents and everyone went to get gas. And so saving those nickels and dimes was so important.
Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you, you know you're done good when your child doesn't have a concept of why 20 cents off, by the way, that was 20 cents. 20 cents off a gallon could be impactful to your wallet. We pulled up to get gas. I said, hey, here's the deal with the magic number. You sign up, you shop, and then you get the punch number in here. Boom, look, it tells me I got 20 cents off a gallon. I go, let's get that 20. And he looks at me, and he just goes, you know, I'm not going to lie. I just don't understand why you guys get so excited about this.
Because.
And, you know, for a second, like, you want to go Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, you give your kid a stunner. And be like, Dad 316 says I just whooped your ass. But then it kind of hit me. I go, holy shit. He's been raised so far away from that kind of worry.
Yeah, we never let him know we were broke when he was young.
I mean, we really, the years we were super broke, he was young.
It really wasn't. It was the age where it didn't take a lot to impress him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's go to a playground. That's the best thing in the world. You know, he wasn't asking to go to Disney.
And we were never broke to the extent of, you know, like not no food in the house. But no. Yeah, like you said.
We just charged it.
But, you know, like you said, things like Disney or things, I mean, there were limited funds to do things. So, but he doesn't remember that. And only kind of like, I looked at AJ and I said, all our kid knows is where we live now, which is Oro Valley. By the way, just voted the top retirement city in the United States of America. The top, if you want to retire,
don't come
to Oro Valley.
No, the driving's bad enough.
Get a house right by us.
Wednesday is senior day at Safeway. And I think I'd rather walk through a car wash than go to senior day at a Safeway.
But I said, you know, all our kid knows is his conscious memories, no offense, Wisconsin, are really of Grand Blanc, Michigan, which for anyone in mid-Michigan knows, especially Flintstones, Grand Blanc's got a reputation.
Yeah.
No, we did not live on the rich side of Grand Blanc.
We live in Grand Burton.
But we did get our kid in the Grand Blanc schools. Yeah. You know, he was not part of the Flint water crisis.
No.
Just by nature of where his zip code was.
Yeah.
So our kid doesn't know that struggle.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I could get like pissy with him, like, bro, why don't you care about saving money on gas? But instead I looked at him and I said, you know what, Dylan? I go, I hope you're able to create a life for yourself where you never have to worry about gas prices.
Yeah.
I said, I hope you're able to create a life for yourself where you can pull up to any gas station and fill it up with gas. Even though I looked at him, I said, even though who knows what the fuck resource your generation will be using, you know, moving forward, EVs and all that. I go, but I really do. I said, man, isn't it great that you don't know what it's like to have to chase down a nickel, because that nickel is going to add up into a quarter, that quarter is going to add up to a dollar, and that dollar is going to get you one more piece of food.
Meanwhile, I'm still so scarred that I went to get gas today separately, not knowing that Pat and Dylan had just got gas. I went to Safeway. And when it popped up that I had no rewards points, no 10 cents off, I literally contemplated getting in the car and driving down to the hood cheaper gas.
First off, by the way, I wanted to. And again, this is where I had to, as dad, and this is advice to all the other parents out there, when you have to switch roles, like when you're a passenger in a car, our son, as soon as we turned it on, said, boy, Dad, you need gas. And I did. It was 24 miles till E. And like I said, we live in Oro Valley. This is a bougie fucking area.
They charge
the rich people here more for gas than they do on the south side of Tucson,
like
where it's
20
poor.
Cents sometimes.
That's why, Jesus Christ, if you love a politician, because they tell you that they can move gas prices.
Yeah,
no, I got a bridge in Brooklyn that I want to sell you. Okay?
Gas and groceries, now, nothing to do with it.
When he made the, you know, notice of we need gas, I said, I think we should get gas along the way.
Yes, because it's cheaper.
Because where we were headed was on the other side of town. And he said, I think we should go to the one right here. And again, he's the one driving.
Yeah.
Even though I'm the fucking one paying for the gas. He's the one driving. And I said, okay, we will go. But I noted to him when we had gotten to the other side of town, because it was $3.07 a gallon up here in the rich people's neighborhood. $3.07 a gallon, my 20 cents off knocked it down, right? To 287. We got to the other side of town and it was 279.
Yeah.
Right?
That's without points.
Yeah, that's just at a normal gas station, like a Citgo, 279. And I did stop and I looked at my son. I go, now I want you to tell me, why do you think gas costs this much there and this much there. We're 30 minutes apart from each other. We're the same zip code as each other. What do you think? And then that's when he goes, because people by us have more money.
Hallelujah.
Bingo.
He has started to figure it out. And I said, and how about the people where we're at right now? He goes, they have less money. I go, oh, yeah. I said, so the point is, what does it mean? The man always wants to get your money. You don't care if you got a lot of it. You don't care if you got a little of it.
Doesn't matter.
He will adjust his prices and make sure that he gets your money. So it was just one of those moments.
So
where
in other words, you're teaching him that he should hate the man, which is a good,
that's a good one,
lesson
yeah.
to learn.
Whoever the man is to you, and the
screw
man,
the man.
The man can be a lot of people. But yeah, whoever the man is, hate the man. And you know, I said, boy, for a second, I could get real like old man grumpy about my kid and these kids don't understand. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what? That's awesome. Isn't that great that at least in our family, and I hope in yours too, or the neighborhoods you live in, that boy, we've made things so fucking good, so great, that it's like, yeah, everything's cool.
Thank you for not going full boomer on
him. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Because that's the one thing I've always thought is weird, how we chastise younger generations. I read an article today that was like shitting all over Gen Z because of, you know, something they apparently do at the airport now, which I'm like, I don't even know what it was. It was like, I don't know. It was like organizing your bags. It was something so stupid. And I'm like, I have never seen that. And now you're making everybody mad at Gen Z. And I thought, you know what? We raised Gen Z. So if they're doing something stupid,
we fucked it up.
Why I always hate when older generations are like, back in my day, well, you raised us. So maybe it's your fault too.
I was cheering on Gen Zers at the bank because the lady helping us get the account set up, she kind of made that a point to say, yeah, these kids these days, they don't want to dress up and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And I sit there and I go, well, yeah, because we were yelled at. I don't know about you, lady. I was yelled at by my mom all the time. How you're supposed to fucking dress.
Yeah.
Even though I thought at church, no one cares about how we look. You had to dress a certain way. So yes, I raised my kids and I go, I don't give a shit how you dress.
No.
I don't care.
Stop worrying about
dress
other generations. You let everybody else do them and just shut up.
There's a new one. That starts with the new year as well. Cause if you're playing the game, you know, there are the boomers as and they are, we can say at the top of the pecking order, right? They're the oldest. After them comes Gen X. After Gen X comes a real funky little micro generation called the Zennials, which, by the way, the Zennials, and I'm one of them, we're trying to...
Pat and I are Zennials.
We're trying to get it. We're trying to kind of lobby to have it changed to the Goonies. The Zennials, I get what you're doing. You're trying to combo Gen X and Millennials.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think you're trying too hard. Can we just call the Goonies generation?
Yeah, but I agree with you in that there's a huge difference between early Millennials and later Millennials.
Oh, yeah,
which
totally.
Is why they're trying to separate the generation. Yeah. And I, as an early Millennial, I think they should.
So you go Gen X, little Zennials, then you get into Millennials, which is the ones where I feel like everyone said, okay, hold on, they're different.
Yeah.
Right? Then the millennials have all grown up. They've been displaced by my son's generation, that is Gen Z. And of course, you skibbity-dibbity Rizzlers out there, if that makes sense to you, I bet you have a Gen Alpha child that is around your universe. And guess what? We're in a new year. So there's a new generation. Welcome, Generation Beta. Which, by the way,
all the babies are beta.
Pretty lazy on whoever, you know, pretty
alpha,
lazy.
Beta. Yeah.
No, I get what they're doing, Gen X, Gen Z. But I mean, how did we go from like cool names that were descriptive, like the silent generation?
The baby boomers.
The greatest generation.
The greatest generation.
Now we're Gen X, Gen Z.
Yeah, we're like hurricanes now. We just go in alphabetical
order. This is bullshit. Come on, guys. You guys can do these kids, or at least allow them to then vote when they get to 18 on a new name. Like, I bet you Gen Z would I like the Zoomers. That's what we first.
Zoomers is a great name.
I thought we were calling Gen Z the Zoomers.
No, it didn't
which
stick.
I thought it was great because they were feuding with the boomers. And I'm like, oh, we'll call them the Zoomers, and they're the boomers. But there's a whole new one for anyone who's having a baby now. There's a whole new generation. It's called Generation Beta.
I do pride myself on the fact that I don't shit all over younger generations. And I'm going to continue to try to do that because I'm like, again, we raised them.
Yeah.
So however they're acting is a product of how we raised them. So maybe we should examine ourselves. Once in a while, something like it was really weird. Like you complimented a girl Where was that? It wasn't long ago. You like threw a random compliment at a girl.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
He complimented a girl on... No. We were at a Christmas, one of my dance shows.
Yes.
And there was a chick there that was doing...
There was a flow artist.
She was doing flow arts. And you complimented her on what?
I just... Because, we were at this little Christmas thing and AJ's school is performing and they had a couple flow artists, which we used to call glow kids.
Yeah.
Basically, they're the kids like AJ, and by kids, I mean adults, that play with all the glow toys at the rave. And now some of them have turned it into like an art form that they do in other spaces. So this Christmas celebration had hired, I'd say, about three rando rave kids to come do their flow thing, which was cool. And like I just, the one gal was changing from one flow toy to another one, and I happened to just go up to her, and I go, oh, hey, I'm like, you're really good. I'm like, you're doing a great job. Great, you know, great vibe to the event.
And she
looked at me. I shit you not, man. Her eyes almost rolled into the back of her head. Now, don't get me wrong. I've made that happen to a few females.
Oh, good God.
But in a much different context. And I think it was just because of the pure... Like there, she's not a social interact. She's not a random. She's not a gal from a generation that is used to face to face kind of. Hey,
and also,
how you doing?
My theory was, you know, because you're a man, you're not allowed to compliment her on something.
Probably thought I was trying to fuck her. But
and I literally, that's the only time I was like, okay, chill out. He just complimented what you're doing because you're doing it as a performance artist.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just saying, why
can't you just say thanks? It's not a big deal.
I just wanted to say, hey, you're from my world, so it's good to see a little bit of my world out here. I will say, I saw that happen with our son. So our son now, he's 18. I mean, he fucking shaves, right? So he's a big dude, 6'3" or some shit. But don't get me wrong, he's a fucking gentle giant. Yeah. He's like the meekest, funniest, like he's not 18 going on 27. He's 18 going on 12. And he is the same way. He's like me. He's expressive and he'll tell you, like, he'll compliment you, which I love. And he loves dreadlocks of all, you know. So if you have dreadlocks, no matter who you are, he's going to tell you, boy, hey, I like your locks. And most people go, oh, thank you so much. And we were going to the corn show this summer. And again, think about my son, what he looks like. Big dude.
Big dude, yeah.
Big dude. Got his corn shirt on, and we're walking in, and you know how it is when you're getting in a concert, everyone's asses to elbows, and there is a rock chick in front of us. Little tiny thing, 5'2". She got a big old head of dreads. Not going to lie. Smoke show hot. And my son catches her and looks and goes, hey, I really like your dreads. And I could already tell from her face, and like... Thanks. And I'm like, oh my God, this poor girl gets guys all day who legitimately, guys and gals, who are trying to bang her brains out, and they'll use anything. It's like complimenting a woman on her tattoos.
Yeah.
You can't compliment her on her tattoos. You want to.
Yeah.
You want to, but trust me, she's going to look at that and go, oh, this guy's trying to fuck me.
No, here we go. Everything is sexual.
This guy's trying to fuck me.
That makes me sad because our son is so nice, and I know he was genuinely being nice. And he wasn't trying to bang her, and she just rolls her eyes.
I was just laughing because I know, I'm like, if it was a couple years earlier and you were smaller and so much more obviously like a kid, she'd have been like, oh, thanks.
And it's totally a sexism thing too, because I noticed you guys can't do that.
We can't do it now, yeah.
Women can compliment anybody at any time for anything, including guys. I told a guy at Jiffy Lube, God, like last year, I was signing my receipt, and I happened to notice he smelled good because I was in a Jiffy Lube. Yeah. You don't often smell anything but oil.
Oh, I was going to say, a lot of synthetics going around.
Yeah, so
I'm
signing, and I didn't even look at him. I'm like, dude, you smell good. And he like lit up, and I was just like, well, you do. All I smell is oil, but you smell good.
I cannot toss that shit out, no.
And I can compliment any female on anything, and it becomes like a girl power thing. But yeah, guys, you guys can't say anything.
I'm getting close. Because I'm starting to look older. If I were to shave, I'd look a lot younger, and that'd be even bad.
Anymore. I think you're past that point.
I don't know, but all I know is I'm not going to be able to compliment a female again until I'm about 62.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not going to be able to do it. You're in a really bad spot right now. Yeah, I have to shut the fuck up for the next... One day my kid can bring home a female. I can't compliment her.
No, you can't.
She's going to be like, my boyfriend's dad's trying to bang me.
He's a creep.
So, like, yeah, I'm just going to shut the fuck up until I retire.
Okay, sounds good.
Podcast is over. I'm going to go be quiet.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. Pat and AJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.